Dateline Washington, Monday, September 29th, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the Congress says no. The House of Representatives, by a 23-vote margin, says that they will not be passing the current version of a $700 billion bailout plan for Wall Street. We'll talk with Texas Congressman Mike Conaway as to why he and 227 of his other congressional allies said no. We'll also talk with J.D. Foster of the Heritage Foundation to find out how the bill voted on Monday was different than the one being pushed last week and what changes may need to be made before there's finally a majority in the House of Representatives. Plus, in this edition, what questions should have been asked in the first place and should be asked now? Nicole Gelinas of the Manhattan Institute about the important things that need to be discussed before such a massive piece of legislation gets approved. And reviewing the first presidential debate and previewing the vice presidential debate, we'll be joined for a discussion on both of those subjects by Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. All that plus the day in Congress and in business follows Monday's headlines.
On this vote, the yeas are 205, the nays are 228. The motion is not adopted.
That was the vote in the House of Representatives early Monday afternoon when it became obvious that there would not be passage of a bailout plan here on Monday. Again, the final vote was 228 no and also 205 in favor. There had been a deal struck between the leadership of the House Democrats and House Republicans over the weekend in which it appeared that they had just enough votes cobbled together. However, that's simply not the case. In the end, some 12 votes needed to switch hands in order for the resolution to be passed. And now there's some concern over when this bill can be brought up again, even with modifications, since the House of Representatives won't even be in session again until Thursday as a result of the Jewish New Year known as Rosh Hashanah. President Bush was among those optimistic early Monday morning that this would be approved today. And after the vote, he was bitterly disappointed.
Our strategy is to continue to address this economic situation head on, and we'll be working to develop a strategy that will enable us to continue to move forward.
Secretary Henry Paulson of the Treasury, who went up to the Hill and lobbied hard for this plan and even the version before it, says that he's also very disappointed by the failure. He says something needs to be done as soon as possible. On the vote, more than 130 Republicans voted against it, and therefore House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the blame belongs on the right side of the aisle.
Today, when the legislation came to the floor, the Democratic side more than lived up to its side of the bargain. While the legislation may have failed, the crisis is still with us.
And Pelosi says the reaction from the White House, as well as the brutal day on Wall Street, which we'll talk about in a moment, is a clear indication that the Republicans were on the wrong side of history on Monday.
That action was necessary to stabilize the markets and to protect the taxpayer. Clearly, that message has not been received yet by the Republican caucus.
But Republicans say it was the floor speech just prior to the vote by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, blaming Republicans for every economic ill imaginable, was the reason for the quashing of the bipartisan spirit.
We've put everything we had into getting the vote to get there today. But the Speaker had to give a partisan voice that poisoned our conference, caused the number of members that we thought we could get to go south.
That's House Republican Leader John Boehner. Much more on this story throughout the hour. Right now, that's a look at the day's top story. My first guest in this edition is J.D. Foster, Senior Fellow in Economics and Fiscal Policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We've asked him to walk us through with the changes made into the bailout bill on Capitol Hill before it was shot down in the House of Representatives today and what changes need to be made for it to get enough votes to move on to the Senate. And J.D., thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, we knew late last week that the administration's version of this bill and even the original congressional alterations to this bill weren't going too far. But over the weekend, leadership, at least, of Republicans and Democrats agreed on the version that came to the floor today. How was the version that got defeated today different than what we were discussing a few days ago?
Well, the version that they voted on today, in fact, I think was much better than what they were looking at a few days ago. There were a number of ideas that were really unrelated to the central issue that had been tacked onto the bill, ideas such as diverting some of the profits that might be earned on the sale of the assets that this program will be used to acquire diverting some of the profits to unrelated spending. That was unacceptable. It was just kind of absurd, really. And so things like of that nature were stripped off, and that was a significant improvement. And they did continue to tighten up the oversight provisions so that the American people in the Congress would have as much as possible a real-time read on what this new Office of Financial Security Stability was going to be doing in Treasury. 48-hour reporting on the transactions, for example, quarterly reports to Congress on the aggregate of all that had been done. So the oversight and transparency was improved. So the bill, over time, became consistently better and better. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, today it proved not quite good enough.
In terms of what you think is needed in terms to stabilize Wall Street and our financial institutions, was it good enough, or should there be other additions to it to make it more palatable across the board?
Well, I think there were other things that need to be done, but not necessarily in this legislation. This legislation was essentially intended to create two new mechanisms, one to help stabilize the market for mortgage-backed securities and the other to stabilize credit markets generally. And to give the markets some greater confidence that the markets themselves would function. That's critical to getting our economy underway. There wasn't really anything that could be added to that bill that was going to make those features more effective. The one thing that can be done, and we think needs to be done, is to expand the FDIC insurance program so that it covers a wider range of deposits. The insurance, of course, generating premiums to the FDIC. It's not free. But there is a concern around the country and around the world that people's deposits with banks are not safe. Well, for most individuals, of course, the deposits are insured up to $100,000, and that's not really an issue. But if you have a small business and you've got to obviously have a checking account, your deposit's only insured up to $100,000. And small and medium-sized businesses very frequently have larger amounts than that. They then start worrying about the safety of their deposits. There's a fairly simple solution: extend the insurance to these sorts of transactional deposits, and that will help stabilize the commercial banking system and make people a lot more comfortable. That can be done. It doesn't need legislation. It's probably the one thing that could help today more than anything.
J.D., in terms of the impact of this failure today in the House of Representatives, many of the cable networks had a split screen of the House vote and what was happening on Wall Street, and the Dow just plummeting when it became clear that this vote was not going to succeed today. What is the impact on the markets with this ongoing uncertainty?
Well, the initial effect was that the market was stunned, and it fell dramatically, and then it recovered as it tried to understand what exactly is going on in the House of Representatives. At first, the debate was held open for a long time, and the market kind of tremored. Now it is down significantly again. I believe the market is holding its breath, and the Republican leadership, the Democratic leadership have all said, well, we didn't quite get there. We need to come back and get it done for the American people. We need to get this bill passed, and we'll have to sit down and figure out what we can do to get to make that happen. The market, I believe, is giving the House of Representatives a tentative benefit of the doubt. If the House of Representatives turns out not to be able to get the job done, then the market is going to, simply put, drop significantly.
And let's follow up on a couple of those points you just made. Do you believe, first of all, that given the current dynamics, the breakdown, the balance of Republicans and Democrats in the House of Representatives and throughout the Congress, that this is probably about the best bill that's going to happen? Or were House Republicans and conservatives, for sure, right to hang on to try and put some more of their own principles into the legislation?
Well, I think they were right in the past to hang on and get the bill to where it is today. But if you go online and see the remarks that Speaker Pelosi gave prior to the vote, you will understand very well why so many House Republicans were infuriated and said, no, we're not supporting it. Republicans and Democrats had worked together in a marvelously bipartisan fashion. It was, for all the ugliness that's often involved in our political system, sometimes they do things that are encouraging, their ability to work together to get something done. And that was true amongst the Republicans and Democrats in public and in private. And then Speaker Pelosi gave a speech, and your listeners can go online and see for themselves and see how would you react if you heard that speech. Well, the House Republicans reacted by saying, you just turned this into a partisan fight. We're voting no. Somehow they've got to get beyond that partisanship again and get back to legislating on a bipartisan basis.
And J.D., you mentioned the markets right now giving the House and lawmakers the benefit of the doubt. What is the impact market-wise and throughout this chaos that we're looking at if nothing's done?
If they fail to get legislation passed, and as the market begins to doubt that they will get the legislation passed, you're going to see it continue to drop significantly. One commentator on a network was suggesting that the Dow could drop well over 1,000 points today. I don't know what the numbers are, but what we do know is financial markets were counting on this legislation to help the markets function. If this legislation doesn't pass, the markets are going to be much worse off. The legislation is not a silver bullet. It will not solve all of our problems. It will not recapitalize financial institutions. It will not solve the housing crisis, but it will help markets solve their own problems. Without that, the markets are going to continue to seize up. We're going to have a credit crunch. People who should be able to borrow simply aren't going to be able to, and then that will ripple all through our economy.
Last question, J.D., real quickly. What kind of timetable is at play here?
Well, we're talking not very many days at all. For one thing, the Congress wants to get out of here as soon as possible. We're now heading into the Jewish holidays. That's going to make things more difficult to pass. But I think the House has to have a new solution on the floor in 2 days with the Senate voting more or less the same day. If they go much past Wednesday or Thursday, the markets will start to severely doubt the credibility of the Congress on this issue, and you will see it very quickly. You will see it in interest rates. You will see it in stock prices and the stock price indices. And as you go around the country, if you're a small business and you have a line of credit, you're going to see it because your line of credit won't be there. If you want to buy a car, you won't be able to unless you have cash. We're going to start seeing this appear over and over again throughout our economy very quickly.
J.D., unfortunately, that has to be the last word. As always, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
J.D. Foster is a senior fellow in economics and fiscal policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington.